seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
You're listening to the Valuetainment Podcast, where we discuss various strategies that will help you scale your business to the next level. I'm your host, Patrick Bendivin, and today we're going to have some fun because we're going to talk about making mistakes, the dumbest mistakes entrepreneurs make with their money.
Once you learn the game of money, it is very easy to make money. But as easy as it is to make money, it is 100 times easier to lose it all. If you make one of these 10 mistakes I'll be talking about today. And by the way, FYI, I have made every single one of these mistakes I'm talking to you about today. So it's purely coming to you from experience. So let's start off with the first mistake. Here we go. Wasted services. Let me explain what wasted services mean. When you become an entrepreneur and you start making a little bit of money, what starts happening is all these messiah consultants show up and they say, if you hire me, my expertise is knowing how to take your business to the next level. How much do you cost? I'm only $10,000 of consulting. You know, you need to pay me. And you're just getting started. So you have all this fear that you don't know what you're doing. So you're kind of like, well, I'll pay this guy $10,000, but you only have $100,000. Now 10% of your money is gone. Then this other person shows up. I know how to create the website that's going to show you this, $3,500. I know how to PR and get you into the newspaper and the news, because if you pay me, $5,000. I know how to be your great, and next thing you know, you just lost $40,000 and you barely got the business started. So you got to keep in mind that you don't want to waste a lot of your money on these messiah type of consultants that show up to take all your money from you. Next, legal team. Let me explain to you why it's so important to have a solid legal team. When I first started the company, and I started my financial firm in October of 2009, from the moment I started, 5 minutes later, I got sued. Okay, I got sued 5 minutes after starting the company. Now, when we got sued by a $400 billion company. What saved us is we had an incredible legal team. Because if I would have gone constantly bullied, I would have eventually won the case. But if they would have dragged it out 2 years later, I would have run out of money, because these guys were pretty heavy duty. So I got different types of attorneys. I get three different firms. I have general counsel who handles my structural type of my business, LLC, you know, C Corp, S Corp, how to structure it, stock options, you know, equity, all this stuff, ESOPs, they do it. The other ones that is an industry, industry legal attorney that I hire. These guys are very expensive. The ones that I have, they're $1,200 an hour, $800 an hour, but they're phenomenal. Then the other one is marketing. So if you got a sales side, if you got a commission side on making sure that everything's being done properly, that's the legal side. Now, accounting is another one. Initially when I started, I had a regular accountant who talked a big game, but every time I got a hold of him, he was never available. Very annoying, very unprofessional, bad attitude, had no clue what he was doing. He lost my paperwork all the time, overpaid, all this stuff. Finally, I said, you're fired. I went and got a real accountant firm that I hired. At that time, I think it was Jay Cohen, and I think I got Cohen Resnick at that time. They did a fantastic job with us. They're a top 50 accounting firm in America. They did a phenomenal job, but they saved us. So we started doing accounting, everything properly. It is very, very important for you to not make mistakes with your legal side, with your accounting side, tax-wise. Pay all your taxes early. Don't wait. A lot of times people get this $100,000 check or $50,000 check and you're not getting W-2, so they don't take your taxes automatically. You spend the 50 as if the 50 is yours, instead of spending the 50 as if the 25 is yours and making sure you take care of your taxes. You don't take care of that part. You know how many people are not in business today simply because they have tax liens or they didn't pay tax. They lost all this other stuff that hurt their credit. They lost these things and people are not doing business with them anymore. So legal, pay very close attention to that. Next. Hiring resumes versus believers. I made this mistake early. I hired a resume that I brought on board, and all he cared about was the money he was going to make, the benefits he was going to get, the American Express card he was going to get, because a former company he was working for, he got all that stuff, and he was expecting it from a startup, and he pressured me every day. Well, you know, the former company gave me this. Well, you know, the former company. Finally, I realized, this guy's not a believer, okay? This guy was a money guy. All he wanted was to make sure he's safe. He didn't understand the value of a startup company. So I asked him, this is not gonna be a fit. He walked away, he's doing good for himself. Then I brought a true believer who was part of my board for 5.5 years. And then eventually I brought him in because he's no longer somebody that just come in as business. He's gonna make a lot of money, but he came in as a true believer. So don't just hire resumes, hire believers. Next, is residual checks. Let me explain to you what I mean by it. There's this notion that the cliche of, you know, one day you're going to have so much money where these checks are piling in and they're coming in, and this money is going to come in, and you're at the beach and you're sitting there and you're, you know, it's so great and you don't work anymore. You're home all day long, sleep, wake up at 11 o'clock and you, you know, do whatever you want to. This is great. This is the dream that's being sold, right? I don't know if you realize kids, no matter how old they become, they're still your kids. If you choose to have kids, you're a parent for the rest of your life, right? If you build a business and you plan on growing the business, it requires attention. No matter how big the business becomes, even a $100 billion company needs attention, and maybe even more attention, but at that time you have some leaders and board and all that stuff that's helping you take care of the business. If you start living a dream too early, very, very early, you're in deep trouble. When we started the company and I had money in place and I put it on the business, I drove a GMC Acadia, is what I drove. I drove a GMC Acadia. I sold my Z06, drove an Acadia, and we were doing our part, and it was all good. And then slowly, we didn't have a house. We rented an apartment because we stayed tight. It wasn't about the lifestyle. You see the Lamborghini and all this other stuff now? This is 5, 6, 7 years later, after having to put up with what we put up with, then came the lifestyle. Okay, next. Liquid. Let me tell you why liquid. You'll see a lot of people who all of a sudden their net worth will go from $0 to $17 million on real estate because the economy is doing very well. And it's all good. So everybody says, oh my gosh, that guy's such a genius. He's so great. He's so awesome. He's so this. I took over an office of somebody in Woodland Hills who at one point was worth $400 million. Okay? His net worth went from $400 million to $20 million in 2 years, is what happened to his net worth. You know why? Because he was all real estate and he wasn't liquid. And he thought real estate, the mortgage, all this stuff was gonna constantly go up and up and up and up, and he was eventually gonna be a multi-billionaire. That's fine. If somebody, you can go up there and put $100,000 on roulette and say it's gonna be number 22, and if it comes up, your $100,000 becomes $3.6 million. There is a 1 in 36 chance that it's gonna happen. So if it happens to somebody, it's awesome. That happens to a lot of people that become billionaires because they were at the right place, right time, real estate, all this stuff. That does happen. But I don't bet my money on exceptions. I bet my money on predictability factors. Let me elaborate. Every 10 years in the world or in a country, typically in America, some countries is more, but ours is generally 10 years. Every 10 years, a major crisis happens. Every 20 years, a massive crisis happens. But 10 years, a major crisis happens, okay? When this crisis happens, let me tell you who benefits from it. You know who benefits from it when a major crisis happens? Those who are liquid. You see a lot of people that say, I never have cash. I love cash. I was able to survive in 2009, 2010, and 11 when no insurance companies were giving contracts, when insurance companies were losing money, when AIG almost went out of business, when all this stuff was happening because we stayed tight. And that allowed us to be able to weather the storm until the good times came, and now we can play a little loose. But even now it's cash. You know why? Because if 2008 was a major mortgage crisis that happened, 2018 we could have another crisis. What kind of crisis could it be? I don't know. Oil, war, something else. But you got to be prepared for it. Okay, next is profits over value. A lot of times you'll see, I was advising this one attorney who's running this law firm, and his law firm's been the same size for 20 years. And he keeps asking me, what can I do to make my law firm bigger, man? It's so crazy and all this other stuff. And then his CFO is sitting there. CFO owns 10% of the company. He owns 90% of the company. I am really dedicated. And then the CFO finally gets ticked off in front of him. Says, can I talk openly? He says, yes. The CFO says, look, I watch every single month, whatever profits we have, you take all of it out of our account. All of it out of your account. And there's nothing left in the company. So every time I want to invest or advertise, you don't allow me to do because you took all the profits. Because that person was only worried about profits, not value. Value is a different thing. Value is what's the value of the company. And in order to think about the value of the company, you gotta do certain things. Profits, you can take income all the time. There was many times I could have made a lot more money and just said, give me the profit. I seek value more than I do profit, but that's a preference. Next, being too cheap. Too cheap could be investing not into your people, saying, I don't need to invest into my people, they're good to go. Not rewarding your people. Not investing into hiring good quality people. I'm not talking resumes, I'm talking believers that require a lot more money as well. But being too cheap, that could hurt you. Next is unrelated businesses. This is like, imagine if Apple buys, I don't know, give me an example. If Apple were to buy Toys R Us, if Apple buys Toys R Us, for what? Now, Amazon bought and teamed up with Toys R Us. Great hit. Why? Because it's a storefront. Became a great merge. Apple goes and buys Beats. Why would Apple buy Beats? Well, Beats links to iTunes, links to music. Okay, somewhat it makes sense. Disney buys Maker Studios. Why would Disney buy Maker Studios? It makes sense, okay? You got some of these companies that are buying certain people that make sense. I made a mistake of investing into an unrelated business. I bought a clothing line. For what? Waste of money. I lost a couple $100,000, and even worse than the money I lost time. I put time into that thing that was wasted time. I couldn't stand the fact that I did that. So unrelated business, zero interest in it. If it will benefit your business, somehow, some way, consider it. If it doesn't, focus on your business. Next, active versus passive investors. All these guys are all, you know, hungry about getting an investor. I can't wait to get an investor. So I had a guy that comes in and says, oh, I'll give you $5 million. This one guy that was interested in investing to our company. And I said, what connections do you have? Nothing. I just know that you're going to make a lot of money, and I know this company is going places, and I'd like to own a piece of it. Here's $5 million. I said, why would I even consider your investment here? Because you're passive. Are you going to introduce me to anybody? No. Do you know any relationships? No. Do you know anything? No. But I'm going to give you $5 million. I don't need the $5 million. I want active investors. Let me tell you what active investors do. So imagine you got two guys giving you money. One is $5 million, one is $4 million, hypothetically. The active investor is going to introduce you to somebody that's going to give you a technology or a product or a relationship or an executive that's going to take your business from doing $17 million a year to all of a sudden $43 million a year, but he gave you $1 million less. But that value he brings in from his experience from the past took the value of the company 2x. Would you be interested in that? See, that's the active versus passive. Look for active investors versus passive investors that want to have nothing to do with your calls. When they ask you questions, how many times are you going to call me? How many times do I have to go to any meetings? How many times do I have to do anything? Great, no problem. Now, some people like passive. Some just say, give me the money and leave me alone. I want relationships and contacts is what I'm looking for because this is leverage for me. Next, diversify. Let me explain to you what I mean by diversify. This is a philosophy that I disagree with. And let me tell you what I mean by this is a philosophy that I disagree with. There are some times that new entrepreneurs take advice from someone that's been around for 42 years in business. For instance, if Warren Buffett gives you advice after being worth $60 billion of what he's doing today, that advice may not relate to your advice of you being in your year three of business. Let me give you a little bit more of an idea. If let's just say I'm 22 years old, I just have a girlfriend, and all of a sudden, a 93-year-old man or a 72-year-old man wants to give me advice on how to raise great-grandkids. I'm not even married yet. But this is how you raise great-grandkids. You don't understand? I don't even have a kid yet, let alone a grandkid, right? There's a lot of these experts that'll tell you to go diversify and do five businesses and do three businesses. When I was a kid, there was this one guy that was such a good salesman. He sold me on this. I ended up being in debt $49,000. One of the best salesmen I ever met. This guy could sell anything to anybody. Anything to anybody. Because he was a salesman. He was not a believer. All he cared about was profits. That's all it was. He would stand outside my door and he would sell me briefcases, suits, anything he could sell you, he sold you. Anything. He still makes the same amount of money as he did 17 years ago. Because all he looked at people with was a dollar sign. I can make $40 off this guy, $60 off this guy, $30 off this guy. Diversifying means choose one industry, give everything to it. 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, once it becomes big, then you're worth $43 million or $193 million or $300 million or $6 million, and you choose to put $500,000 in another business that's related to your business, you can consider that. But not early on trying to diversify everything you have in different investments.
Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.